Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, which is the official podcast of football FPL Football Addicts. So, after some discussions with some colleagues, I figured that I should probably record a series of pods before the season starts. Obviously, I can't follow the structure that I previously spoke about on the previous podcast, but I'm thinking a good number of recordings on some of the things you should be mindful of when setting up your fantasy team prior to the season starting, which I think starts in, I can't remember, it's like 4 or 5 weeks or something. So there's still a bit of time. There's obviously still a lot of signings to go to get through. So I mean, all this is probably in vain. I mean, sides can, you know, midfields can almost completely change. Like half the midfield could change, you know, in a couple of weeks. But I think it's still a good, you know, I think it's a good idea for you guys to have some good idea on some of the players that I think are underpriced and overpriced. Some of the players that I think will kick on. Some players that I don't think will kick on. Remembering, this is just my opinion. In the back of my mind, I've got some stats and stuff that back up my opinion. But I mean, with these opinions, you just take with a pinch of salt, or you can take it on whatever. But this is just some of the things that I think. So what I was thinking of doing, and also another warning: I'd imagine this podcast is going to be pretty long, because I am going to go through each team. And I'm going to give each team a bit of time, talk about signings or players, the prices of players that I think are cheap or guys I think are overpriced. I'm just going to a quick discussion and analysis on each of the teams. So I'll get started. I'll do it in alphabetical order. So the first team up that's due for a little bit of dissection is Arsenal. Most of you will be aware they've signed Petr Cech, whoever you pronounce it, and you know it's a good signing, and I think at 5.5 he's a good price, and if you get him in, I wouldn't blame you. So yeah, Cech's good. With the new rules in the bonus points, he's probably priced right. I wouldn't say that he's underpriced. He's priced right, because that's the ceiling for goalkeepers now, is 5.5. All right, as we look at the defenders, the only defender I would consider bringing in is Koscielny. I think people are saying Mertesacker is not nailed on. He might not be, because they're going to start breaking in Gabriel, the new centre back. Koscielny is the only defender I would consider bringing in if you're going for a defender. I think Monreal is 5.5. I think he's not nailed on either, but he's number one. I think he's better than Gibbs. And Bellerin has come in at 5.5 as well, and he's obviously not nailed on either, with Debuchy and Chambers probably third choice. So Koscielny, in essence, is really the only one nailed on. And the reason that he is 0.5 more than Mertesacker is because, one, he's nailed on, and two, he is going to be more of a beneficiary in terms of the new rules in the bonus points as well. I'll talk more about BPS and bonus points in a later podcast, the new changes. All right, so that's it. So let's move on to midfielders. We've got Sanchez, who's priced about right. No, he's priced about right, I think. But he probably won't start the season because he needs a rest from the Copa America. So that rules him out, but I would consider bringing him in. I think it's 20.4%, so his ownership's quite high. So if he comes back in and he starts firing, you're probably going to need him in. All right, that leaves us with Cazorla, Ramsey, Ozil, and Walcott. They're the only guys that I would consider, and they are all priced at 8.5, bar Walcott, who's 9, which is a little bit surprising, but it isn't either. The FPL tower isn't silly. They know that Walcott has a chance to play in the striker position over Giroud, which he does. So If you're a bit of a maverick, I would consider Walcott. I won't be getting Walcott because it's too risky for me to have in a game week one team. So that leaves Cazorla, Ramsey, Ozil. No to Cazorla. If he plays, he'll be playing deep. That leaves Ramsey and Ozil. So I would get one of them. Ramsey, I'm hearing, is not entirely nailed on. I think he probably is. I mean, Wenger would be crazy not to play him. I like Ozil. I think his creativity stats are through the roof. He sets up shots three times, on average three times. Yeah, it's 3 point something. I think he's going to kick on. I think he's going to have a good season, and he is nailed on. So for me, I would pop, number one for me is Ozil, and I would consider Ramsey as well. Then these guys, Ramsey and Ozil, they're underpriced at 8.5. They're both underpriced by about probably 0.5 to 1. Walcott's probably slightly overpriced considering his season last season because he just didn't start. But I would consider Walcott as well, but probably not in game week one. All right, strikers, I'd consider Giroud. He's probably priced, well, he is priced about right. He got 120 points last season, maybe a little overpriced. But I would consider him. I mean, if you like him, go for it. I probably wouldn't. I think there's better value out there in terms of strikers. Yeah, so that's Arsenal. Yep. For me, Arsenal have good fixtures, so you're going to have to get some kind of coverage. I have a defender and a midfielder. I've just gone for Cech because he's 0.5 less than Koscielny, and yeah, I think Cech will be good. I think he'll rack up some save points as well. All right, cool. Let's move on to Aston Villa. Bit of a swerve here, apart from Benteke. But there is some value there. Looks like Given has signed with Stoke, so Guzan is number one. Aston Villa defence, no. Let's move on to midfielders. Looks like Delph has gone to City, but I wouldn't consider him anyway. And Zogbia, no. So that leaves kind of Grealish. It leaves Grealish and Sinclair. Grealish is worth looking in, 5.5. Maybe a little bit overpriced for me. If he was 5, I might consider him. I'm not sure what Villa's fixtures are like. Bournemouth away, Man U at home, Crystal Palace away, and Stoke at home. Not too bad. Oh, hang on. Yeah, pretty mixed. Crystal Palace away, interesting. Yeah, I probably wouldn't consider Grealish. I think 5.5, a little overpriced. If he shows some form, maybe. And there's no one else there for the Villa midfielders. Benteke, if he stays at Villa, I like him. I would consider him. I have looked at him in one of my team drafts. I like him. If you get him, that's a good one. I am looking at starting without him, but downgrading Rooney, or whether I go Kane, Rooney, or Costa, downgrading them to Benteke and then bring in Aguero whenever he comes back in. So yeah, I like Benteke. He's worth bringing in. Cool. That's awesome. Let's move on to who comes next. Bournemouth. So one of the promoted teams. I don't know a great deal, but I know enough to pick out the potential players that it might be worth bringing in. So goalkeepers, I think Boric is going to start, but just watch out for that one. Boric and Federici are both 4.5. If you're looking at a cheap goalkeeper rotation, these guys aren't too bad. Of the three promoted teams, Bournemouth are probably the most solid defensively. I would think. If you look at some of their, I've got some data here. And if we look at defensive effectiveness, Bournemouth conceded 11.5 shots per goal conceded. So that's pretty good. The worst was like Millwall at 8 shots faced per goal. So sticking with Bournemouth, and they faced 11.5 shots per game, which is the second best in the league. Norwich conceded 9.5 shots per game, but they were conceding 9 shots per goal conceded. So they were like avoiding the issue. Like, of the promoted sides, Bournemouth were the most formidable last season. That's not considering Watford have now signed Kapui and that Swiss dude, what's his, Bellarabi, whatever his name is, I can't remember his name. I think if you're going to go for any defensive coverage from the promoted teams, Bournemouth is probably it. There are no 4.0 defenders in the Bournemouth team. I think the back four are Distan, be Francis, Elphick is in there, and I'm not sure who the other one is. Oh, Mings, Tyrone Mings, yeah. So they will be your four defenders to pick from. I'd probably just go with, if you're going to pick one of those guys to put in one of your 3-4-man defensive rotation, I'd probably pick Tyrone Mings just over being more well-known. I think there's lots of hype around him. I think he's a good defender. But they paid big money. I think they paid about $8 million for Mings, so he's probably worth bringing in. All right, so let's transition on to the midfielders for Bournemouth. We've got Christian Atsu. He's worth considering. And the other one is Matty Ritchie. Matty Ritchie is a very creative, I think he's a right winger. And he racked up lots of assists last season. I would consider him, despite the fact he's overpriced. Ritchie comes in at 6, but I would still consider him as a 4th midfielder, not a 5th midfielder. He is too expensive for the 5th midfielder slot. So I would consider Atsu or Matty Ritchie. There is no one else there, no. And then that comes to the strikers. We've got Callum Wilson, who is priced correctly at 5.5. I would consider him. Camorgan, I wouldn't consider because he is too old and he'll probably get pushed out. So, that's Bournemouth. Atsu or Ritchie in midfield, or Callum Wilson if you're going for a cheap striker. Third striker that you might rotate with the 5th midfielder. Awesome. Wilson was quite prolific last season, but I like Deeney better from Watford, but that'll come later. All right, let's move on to Chelsea, the champions. Courtois comes in at 5.5, so that's good. Looking at the defenders, we've got Ivanovic, Terry, Azpilicueta, and Cahill. I'm hearing Cahill might suffer from rotation from Kurt Zouma. I think Philip Luiz is on his way out, so I think Azpilicueta is probably like 90% nailed on, and I like him. He's 1 million cheaper than Terry and Ivanovic. Yes, Terry and Ivanovic have more attacking threat, but with the new changes to the bonus points, Azpilicueta is going to benefit the most. And he was getting more bonus than those two already, but now with the fact that instead of every 3 tackles they get a bat point, a BPS point, now it's only, it was 3, now it's only 2. So he's going to benefit even more. So, you know, for those games where Chelsea win 1-0 and they get the clean sheet and all the defenders get all the bonus points, he is going to be pretty well nailed on for 3 every time. I like him the best out of those 3. All right, moving on to midfielders. Hazard is at 50% ownership, and I know that's probably due to the auto-select teams, but he is essential, in my opinion. It doesn't even matter if he starts slow. He still has 50% ownership. If you don't have him and he starts scoring, that's a trade wasted already. That leaves us with Fabregas. Yep, I mean, he's good. I wouldn't blame you if you bring him in. Oscar, William, not so much. William will start, but he's a good player. He's just not a fantasy player. Oscar, I'm not sure if he's nailed on. And that is it. There's no one else there. Cool. Let's move on to strikers. Costa, yeah. I mean, I've got him. 11, he's priced about right. Fabregas is probably underpriced, I think, at 9. Hazard is priced right. Falcao, no. He's not going to start. And Costa definitely is a good captain choice as well with Hazard. So you need like two or three good players that you would consider captaining, and Costa is one of them. I think he's priced about right as well. 11's not a too bad price. I kind of expected a bit more actually, so that's pretty good. Okay, so that is Chelsea. Some of my thoughts on the Chelsea team. Let's move on to, here we go, Crystal Palace. Oh, good. I like this. There's a bit of value in this team, even though their fixtures are pretty woeful. They've got Norwich away straight up, which isn't too bad. Then Arsenal, Villa at home. Ah, so it's the fixtures from game weeks 4, 5 and 6 that are horrible. Chelsea away, City at home, Tottenham away. So they will, if you're getting these defenders in, they are going to concede there. But they've got a couple of decent fixtures. Norwich away, I think, is not too bad for clean sheets. And Villa at home, I think, is also a pretty good chance of getting a clean sheet. Not 100%, but decent chance. All right, so let's move on to the goalkeepers. We've got Spironi. He's getting old. I think he's going to get pushed out. I think they're going to sign a keeper. So probably no to him. Defenders. So their back four will be probably Scott Dan, and I think is it Martin Delaney? Damien Delaney. They will probably be the two centre-backs. Hangeland might take Delaney's spot. I'm hearing Dan's linked with some other team. And the two fullbacks will be Ward. What's his name? Is it Joel Ward yet? And who was the other one? Oh, Martin Kelly, I think. But Martin Kelly's not entirely nailed on. Ward is nailed on. If you find a good rotation with Palace, definitely, you know, take it. Don't be scared not to play Palace. Pardew's a good manager. I mean, you're not going to play a Palace player in those three horrible fixtures. But I probably like Delaney. I think Delaney or Dan. I think, well, it's probably any of them. I mean, they're all if they get a clean sheet, any of them will get some bonus. I probably like Delaney. I think he has more potential to get bonus. I think he racks up the clearances, blocks and intercepts more than Dan does. But I haven't looked at the tackle statistics for Kelly and Ward. If it turns out that Ward makes like 3-4 tackles a game, then probably Ward. But I probably like Delaney because he's close to being number one. Not entirely nailed on, but at 4.5 less than Dan, he's worth more than Dan. Dan's overpriced at 5. I wouldn't even consider him. All right, that moves on to the midfielders. So pretty interesting that these guys are stacked with midfielders. You've got Yannick Bolasie at 6.5. Probably priced about right. Could have been 6. Punchin at 6 was good value before Kabai turned up. And Zaha is 5.5. And then we have Kabai, who has just been signed from PSG and comes in 6.5. Yeah, big raps on Kabai. If you're getting him in, that's fine. It's a wait and see for me. I know he was really good at Newcastle, but he hasn't done much in the time he's been at PSG. He will play deeper, but he'll still rack up attacking stats. 6.5, he's priced right. Zaha. No one's talking about Wilfred Zaha, but I was looking at his stats yesterday, and he takes as many shots. Well, he takes more shots inside the box than what Punchin does. But people were loving a bit of the punch. So I'm not sure what's happening there. I'm steering clear myself because they have bad fixtures, and I'm just going to sit and wait. But I like Crystal Palace this year. They will concede most games, but yeah, I think they'll kick on. Strikers, no. Glenn Murray, Marcus Gale, nah, not with those fixtures. If they start to find some form, I'll have a look at whoever's playing more. I think Murray was playing a few games back end of last season, and he was scoring goals. And then they had a little bad run, and then Marcus Gale got the spot, I think. And I think Murray got it back again on the last game day. I can't remember. But yeah, there is a lot of value in the midfield there. Bolasie, Punch, and Kabai are the big three. So, yeah, I'll just have to wait and see. I think, for me, Punchin was the pick because he was pretty consistent. Like, he was on set pieces, he was on penalties. I would imagine he will lose his set pieces to Kabai and keep his penalties. I don't think Kabai is a penalty taker. Well, when he was at Newcastle, he wasn't, because Demba Ba and Papi Cisse took the penalties. Just keep an eye out for that. Yeah, so a lot of value at Crystal Palace, just not yet because of the fixtures. Right, let's move on to Everton. So the underachievers from last season. Yeah, there's value here, but they have horrible fixtures to start off with. Once the fixtures clear up, I think Jagielka is a good pick for the defenders. He's underpriced at 5.5 for sure. Coleman's priced well at 6. Baines is priced about right, but he hasn't got penalties anymore, so he's probably slightly overpriced. If he was taking penalties at 6.5 for sure, but yeah, he's not on penalties now, so he would be a snip at 6. Coleman at 6 is good. I like Jagielka. He's a clearances, blocks, intercepts monster. He's a stats monster. He's a reactive defender, and once their fixtures clear up and they show some signs of, you know, resolution at the back, then I would consider them. But not at the moment because of bad fixtures. But Jagielka and Coleman are both underpriced. All right, let's move on to midfielders. Morales, he's just not nailed on. When Aaron Lennon turned up back end of last season, he didn't start at all. Cleverly, no, he probably played deep, 5.5. Morales at 7, he's overpriced, no way. Barkley's annoying, 6.5, probably slightly overpriced. I wouldn't consider getting them in. I mean, he spends a lot of time on the final third, and for the amount of touches and passes he makes in the final third, he just doesn't boast any creative or threat stats. I'm not a fan. And then that's it. Delafeu from Barcelona. Once the fixtures clear up and they show some signs, Delafeu at 6.5 is good. He's obviously a very good player, and he was good when he was playing in the Premier League with Everton. So that's that. Moving on to the forwards, Lukaku, 8 at 8, underpriced, has the potential to explode, and at times, people are getting him in the draft to captain him in the game week 1, and that's not too bad, and they plan on getting rid of him. I think that's pretty short-sighted. I'm not starting with him. Even though I'm a bit of a fan, he's a bit of a troll, that's for sure. But yeah, as I said, once the fixtures clear up, he looks to be showing some form, I'll get him in. I've had him at times and he's done pretty well. People are a bit wary of Lukaku. He is a troll. Like he will show signs that he's coming good and he's getting stats, like, you know, 4 or 5 shots a game for a while, and then he doesn't do much. But yeah, one to watch out for. But I wouldn't get him initially. All right, let's move on to Leicester. And this will be the last one, and I'll probably turn this one into a little mini series. Okay. So let's have a look at Leicester goalkeeper Schmeichel. Yep, good, 4.5. Put him in a good rotation. I can't remember who they rotate with. I like Peter Schmeichel at 4.5. I'll come back to that. I'll just find my rotations, and I will tell you who I think he fits in well with. Schmeichel probably actually. If Nigel Pearson was still there, I would say he's underpriced by 0.5. But now he's not there, we don't really know. All right, defenders, let's move on. Morgan at 4.5. Oh, Wes Morgan at 4.5 is good. The bonus will help him. What's his name? The left back, Jeffrey Schlupp. He's on his way out. And at 5, he was overpriced anyway. Who else do we have? Robert Huth, I like. He's probably underpriced by 0.5. I've actually got him in my team already. And that leaves Sebastian Fuchs as well. He'll probably take Jeffrey Schlupp's spot. So I like him as well. But at 5. If Pearson was still there, it's probably a good price, but now he's not there, we've got no idea. Probably slightly overpriced. But yeah, I actually have Robert Huth in my team because he's going to benefit from the changes to the bonus points. And I've got him in a nice little rotation. So yeah, I would consider them, but just be wary as I am. So that moves on to midfielders. Initially, when the prices first come out, I quite liked Mark Albrighton, but now that Pearson's not there, he's not entirely nailed on. He hardly played in the first half of last season, but took the right midfield spot from Riyad Mahrez. And then so then Mahrez lost his spot, and then he came back in and took the position in the hole. So yeah, they're probably if Leicester start off well, they're probably both underpriced. And that's really it for Leicester in the midfield. I wouldn't consider anyone else. I liked Albrighton initially as a fifth midfielder at five. I wouldn't go any higher than 5 million for a fifth midfielder. But with Pearson not there, we're just not sure it's going to happen. I mean, I've got Robert Huth, and because, I mean, he's their best defender. He's a really good defender. So, I mean, that's why I've got him, because I think he's nailed on. So let's move on to the forwards. We've got really only Leonardo Ulloa and James Vardy to pick from. And there's just, they're both coming at six. They're probably priced about right. There's just better value around that price. You can go with one of the promoted strikers, or you can go with Diafra Sakho from West Ham. So, yes, so that's it. So that's the end of part one. I'll get on to part two at some stage later today. Awesome. Thanks for listening. See ya.